Craving your next action-packed adventure? Audible delivers thrills of every kind on your command, like Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir, where a lone astronaut must save humanity from extinction, narrated with stunning intensity by Ray Porter. From electrifying suspense and daring quests to spine-tingling horror and romance in far-off realms, unleash your adventurous side with gripping titles that'll keep you guessing. Discover exclusive Audible originals, hotly anticipated new releases, and must-listen bestsellers that hook you from the first minute. Because Audible knows there's no greater thrill than the one that speaks to you. Discover what lies beyond the edge of your seat. Start your free 30-day trial at audible.com/WonderyUS. That's audible.com/WonderyUS.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You got mail.
Hi, before we get started, we wanted to share a quick note from us. We got some pushback last week from our grasshole, Maya Ayouni, who's a Palestinian activist who was using her platform of 2 million to discourage people to vote. She was also fighting with multiple Black creators. Although we were careful to frame her grasshole declaration as we, you know, were 100% for the cause, we wanted to focus on Maya's method of activism and nuanced points that Black creators made about Maya Ayouni specifically.
Still, we understand that some people were uncomfortable with the discussion, and we want to make our position on the issue of the Gazan genocide totally clear. So we wanted to take a moment up top on this episode to highlight Dahnoon Mutual Aid, which is a mutual aid group that is run entirely by Gazans inside and outside of Gaza. 100% of the proceeds that they raise go directly to operations on the ground. So that's water distribution, baby supplies, food supplies, blankets, etc. We'll have a link to that in the episode description. I'll also go back and retroactively add a link to that in the old episode description. And we just want to let you guys know that you're always welcome to call us in. You're always welcome to let us know how you feel about episodes. We love you. We can take it. And yeah, we're listening.
And, you know, even if we disagree, even whatever, we appreciate you guys so much. With that, let's enjoy our episode for today. Hi, I'm Millie Tamaris.
And I'm Elise Morales.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Elise and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can literally do anything else with your time.
Anything else. And if you like what you hear today and you want to hear more, we have a Go Touch Grass Patreon up and running with tons more content weekly, access to our Discord community, and our spin-off series, Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past. This week's Patreon, I'm already laughing thinking about it, is about the TikTok trend that gingers are Black, which
yes.
I'll let Millie speak on.
Yes, people determine if gingers are Black, and it was a very heartwarming, wholesome thing. And our Patreon next week is going to be on the search for Dolly.
On TikTok,
which is, again, we said this week's Patreon was very from the desk of Millie Tamaris and the search from Dolly, because I didn't know what the fuck that was.
Search for Dolly is straight from the desk of Elise Morales.
Yes. So you don't want to miss that.
You don't want to miss it.
And you don't want to forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love your reviews. We need more of them. But really, the best review you can do is to tell your friends, tag us in a little story. We'll repost it. You know we're online. That's the premise of the show.
And speaking of us being online, we're on YouTube, guys. You know, every Saturday we release full video episodes on YouTube. Audio is always out on Wednesday, but the video has more. You can see the clips for yourself. You can hear the stuff that we took out for time. You can see Millie's little additions that are fun and cute. So go to YouTube, comment on the YouTube, thumbs up the YouTube, do all the nice YouTube stuff for us, please.
Speaking of nice YouTube stuff, our next guest is a writer, digital producer, and unfortunately a comedian. He is currently a senior social media editor at New York Magazine, and maybe you've seen him waiting patiently outside of one of New York's hottest restaurants. Let's give a huge Grass Nation welcome to Zach Schiffman.
Yay. Hello.
Wow. Welcome, Zach. Second Zach in 2 weeks.
I know.
Second Zach in 2 weeks.
Zach, we're going to ask you questions about you and your work, and then we'll get into into the internet. So first, I did want to ask, you host a podcast that we were talking about right before you got on here. It is called Out of Breath, where you are on a run and your guest is not on a run. Why are you doing that? And what made you want to do it? And how do you do it?
It started because I do that, and I do that in my real life. Like, I like would FaceTime people, talk on the phone, but FaceTime when it's rude. Mm-hmm. Like people when I go for runs, because I don't run fast. I run slow. And it's like, there's no point running fast. It's like exhaust. It's like not worth anyone's energy. But it's like just like, I had done it. And then I realized that I could do something with it because I've gone live a bunch of times, like while I'm running. And I was like, oh, there's something here. Mm-hmm. And also, I was trying to think of a podcast I could do that I had to host alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I was like, I want to host thing alone because I had tried to do stuff with co-hosts and it didn't work. All love to Rachel Koster, of course.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Former guest on the pod.
Who did yawn during our.
Of course.
He yawned during our episode. And my one friend was like, who the fuck is, and I'm like, if you don't know her, like, that's pretty on brand for her to yawn.
She's yawns on stage, like, she cannot control
it. She's sleepy.
Yeah.
She's sleepy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wanted to do something alone, and I was like, well, this is inconsiderate to everyone around, so I think this works alone. And it just sort of, it worked that way. And then I really should have, and then there was, got scared to for a while because that girl who just got canceled.
But she was, what's her name?
There's no way to know her name.
She's some white girl who goes running and asks people questions and they run. But she recently went to the White House and interviewed Miss Caroline Levin.
Oh, my God.
But not also she wasn't running.
And Miss Caroline wasn't even running.
Yeah. And the girl wasn't even running. It's like they broke the entire thing.
Ran right past me.
Really?
The whole thing.
I know.
It was big.
Blissfully unaware.
I saw it. Yeah, she was. So people are like, what other running influencers are MAGA? She came out as MAGA. It was like all this crazy shit.
But she had also interviewed Tim Walls. Like there was all that weird stuff with that like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So she'll run up to anybody.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
That's hopefully she doesn't run for president.
Exactly.
Right?
She will. That's us yawning.
Yeah. It's an ode to Rachel.
Exactly.
My goal is to call out as many comedians as I can. Your name, last name a million times.
I know. Yeah. It's like the first 2 minutes of this podcast, we immediately name dropped.
Yeah, all right. Nothing
people.
We can do
it's
about
fine.
It. Yeah.
There's
it's
nothing.
Fine.
There's no way to know. There's
all
nothing we can do.
To everyone.
The controversial TikToker, we can't remember.
No.
That's
our
the
actual
one
friends.
Yeah.
We're gonna come.
Yeah.
So Zach, you've made some really fun videos where you go to New York City's most popular restaurants without a reservation. This is just a side note, I'm getting some really chaotic energy from Zach. Like, that's your brand. It's completely chaos. But the question is, what's your hot tip for people who want to enjoy dining in New York City? Because I feel like I was very surprised by some of the results that you gave.
I think that, I will say that part of it was like, we stopped doing the series because like a lot of the restaurants changed their policies. Not explicitly because of it, because a lot of discourse about Resi and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like you see that like a lot of places are now on Open Table or have done a lot of walk-ins. Like I think that I'm not taking credit for it, but we were part of a big conversation about like restaurant reservations and everything.
What was the conversation that it's like exclusive to certain people?
There was the whole like black market of people buying and selling Resi reservations and people like coding like bots to like get Resi reservations. And so it just like completely took away the ability for people to actually get reservations because it became so commoditized. And also like American Express buying Resi. So there was just like so many weird things in there.
Yeah, because for people who don't know, like there was a black market where like really exclusive restaurants, if you wanted to get a reservation, you'd have to pay a dealer who has a like ticket scalpers. Mm-hmm. Almost.
Yeah, I was about to be like, it's like the Ticketmaster shit where it's like people scoop up all the reservations and then resell them.
Yeah, but at least with a ticket scalper, you're gonna get a ticket.
And
for
also
the
with
most
a ticket
part.
Scalper, like the tickets did cost money to begin with. Like restaurant reservations don't cost money.
Yeah, no, that's also true.
Like you're
very,
taking a free
true.
Thing and now charging for a free thing.
Yeah, and they would charge like $1,000.
Yeah, it's crazy.
$500. For you to take their reservation.
So how have they changed their policies now? Like,
I mean, it still happens at like a lot of bad restaurants like Carbone, but like it's still
name dropping again.
Yeah, it's like not a restaurant. I mean, at this point, it's not a restaurant. Yeah. It's like an Epcot attraction.
Yeah.
But like there's like, I think that a lot of places have a lot more walk-ins. A lot of places have pivoted to Open Table. A lot of places have changed the windows where they drop reservations. So like it used to be 21 days. Now a lot of places only do 7. Now it's just like, I think that there's been a bit of a shift. And I think it's also like, I think also people have realized, I think it was sort of like, do you ever think that there was like, we think that a lot of post-COVID stuff was 2021, but actually it was 2023.
Mm. Yes, I agree with you, because I think that that's when all the latent stuff that we like buried and packed so deeply into our psyche finally started like bursting forth.
Right. And it was like, that was like, okay, we'd like been out of COVID or out of like lockdown for a bit. And so this was like, this is like the weird things that like were built up from that. And I think that the restaurant bubble of all these, like there were like 10 hot restaurants at once of 2023. I think that that also has burst where like people are not going to only the same 10 restaurants, right?
Yeah.
Now. You know, I think that it burst, it's like spread out a little bit again.
People arguably aren't going to restaurants that much at all right now because of money.
Yeah.
But it's also interesting because, yeah, like even rent, like I remember I got a really great deal during 2021. And then like 2023 real estate in New York, even though like, statistically, like more people left New York than came back, whatever. The rent was crazy.
It went crazy.
And because they're trying to recuperate back from COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like the rent went crazy, and so did all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. I was, sometimes I sit and I'm like, well, but yeah, we were just talking at your birthday party. I don't know. So we at least had reserved like 3 or 4 tables at this bar. And the manager comes up to us and he's like, hey, yeah, so you guys sit at this table and when you're ready to order, you walk up to the bar and you get the drink and you pay for it and you sit back down. Okay. And then we're like, okay. And then he leaves and we're like, why is he explaining to us how a bar works? And then me and someone else, I'm like, the kids don't know how bars work.
Yeah.
These you know, these young Gen Z kids, like, they don't know how it's supposed to go. So then I remember Elise had reserved 3 tables. There was this group of girls at a table and they paid for their bill. And then the waitress was like, okay, yeah, there's another party. So like, you know, when you guys leave, like they're going to take the table. Those girls sat for another 30 minutes and we're talking and we're all just like standing and looking at them.
Maybe they just were friends.
And then, they were not. And then finally, like the waitress had to say something again and they got up and we're like, yeah, this is what. These people don't know. This is why they're getting a fucking speech. But it's like, yeah, it's post-COVID.
These kids.
Right. Like people just don't have like our, I feel like it was like, there was like, maybe not to say it was good, of course, but it was bad. But I feel like 2021, 2022 was sort of like this, like, if you like were smart, there was like this euphoria about New York for a minute, not euphoria, but like there was like, we all had figured things out. And then 2023 was like the dam broke. Everyone is brain dead here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the thing that I keep getting at is I feel like immediately, like once the vaccine came out, there was this immediate post-pandemic euphoria of like, okay, the world is like half back, but it's new, but it's not, but we're vaccinated.
We're gonna
be careful. So we can have fun, but we can do stuff, blah, blah, blah. And then 2023 feels like when everyone was just like, what just fucking happened to me?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
well,
now that we've addressed the pandemic and its aftermath.
And we solved it.
Let's talk
about another group of brain dead people. So this week we're going to have like, we're going to group together a bunch of mini discourses for, you know, your consideration. And they're going to be under the same umbrella that I'm going to call, I don't know if there's going to be a better version of this, but I'm calling this like the loser brigade parade. Because all these things are happening in conjunction, like right after another. And it is causing like a unified discourse that's really interesting. I'm going to just do a little warning if domestic violence or abuse kind of something triggering for you, you might want to take care, you might want to skip to our grass hole, which is very dumb.
Yeah, which is not related to that at all.
But okay, so a lot has happened in the arena of toxic, abusive men. One software update is Millie Tamara's fan favorite. I mean, and by mean, I'm the fan favorite of this person. Cardi B showed up to the with rumored boo NFL player Stephon Diggs to game 4 of the Eastern Conference second round NBA playoffs between the Boston Celtics and the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden on May 12, 2025. She was rumored to have been dating Stephon Diggs. We talked about it.
We talked about it.
And they showed up together on Valentine's Day, which is interesting. And then they were full on like hardest to hardest lunch. I feel like hard launch, V-Day dinner, hard launch.
Yeah.
But this is like their courtside.
Courtside at a game.
At a game.
And you're both like in full, I mean, he's not in full glam in the same way she is, but like they're in each other, their version of glam.
And they're holding hands and whispering like, things.
That's full launch. That's
and
hard, hard launch.
Quick podcaster note on this. Fuck Boston. Let's go next. Fuck Boston.
I don't know anything about it. But
anything about Boston?
I don't know anything about the sports that is fueling this.
Well, Boston lost, so they're okay. Done.
They are done.
They're done with Boston. So
that's why my friend has responded to my text.
Oh, wow.
She must be despondent.
Wow. Well, now we know. But anyway, there's no losers in this. The only loser is Cardi B's ex-husband, who has been a petty bitch. And he retorted with this photo shoot of him. Somebody posted this rip from Offset's Instagram and said, "Men are so predictable." Elise, Zach, what are we looking at here in these images?
Two girls blurred out, him sort of lounging on them, they're not really that dressed.
Yeah, they're very scantily clad. And it looks like the other picture, they might be naked or something.
They look there are two pictures. In one, he's laying in the lap of a girl who's wearing like a very... almost like Ariel-esque like bra that we're like
a bralette,
something
there's no back on it.
Yeah, there's no back on it, so it's like a sticky tape situation.
Yeah,
their faces are all blurred out, which actually gives this a very porny and scary energy.
Yeah,
and then in the second picture, it does look like they're naked, but it's also hard to say.
Yeah, and at Lindsay Created reposted this and said, "You can't make somebody jealous with this. You got to pop up in matching Christmas pajamas. This means nothing."
That's so true.
And yeah, it's so true. So any thoughts on this real quick?
You can't make someone jealous. Also, he clearly had to send these pictures to a lawyer if the girls are blurred.
Yeah.
You can't make someone jealous pictures that had to go through a lawyer.
Well, yeah. I'm also, to the point of you got to pop up in matching Christmas pajamas. It's like, yeah. Being courtside at a basketball game with your new full-fledged relationship, and both of you guys look amazing and are basically in A-lister mode. This
a
does
hotter
not...
guy who's a foot taller and has more money. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm like, this does not compete with that. Cardi B has probably seen you in this type of situation many times. I don't think this is new to her.
Yeah, I'm like, this is kind of the reason why y'all are not together anymore.
Can I make a horrible comparison that Elise will like and you might not?
Okay.
That this is Maddie Healy, but the courtside is Travis Kelce.
Yes, wow. No, that's actually very true.
Okay.
That is very, very
that's
true.
That's fair. And good call out.
Though I do feel, I'll even say, not to speak for Maddie Healy, but I feel like he didn't crash out in the same way that Offset.
No.
Yeah, Maddie Healy kept very mum was kind of the word about.
Well, because he's because his house is being monitored 24/7.
Yeah, exactly. Because
he can't.
SEAL Team Swift monitoring him at every second. But
he's also fully engaged to someone else who probably is a better fit for him. In many ways, who also looks equally as scary. Okay, speaking of scary, let's go to our next topic. So last week, Monday, Tory Lanez was stabbed 14 times in prison, where he is serving 10 years for shooting rapper Megan Thee Stallion in the foot. After he was stabbed and it was announced, a bunch of people, including Ty Dolla $ign, fucking Drake, and Chris Brown, posted an IG story saying, "Free Tory," which people were pissed about. Because Chris Brown has his own problems, obviously, with domestic violence.
I know saying Nightmare Blunt rotation is kind of hack at this point, but that list that you just gave.
Tory Lanez, Ty Dolla $ign.
Chris Brown and Drake. No.
So what happened was, after Chris Brown posted the Instagram story, it inflamed the discourse against Megan Thee Stallion again and got more people sharing conspiracy theories again. And it was really annoying. But less than 24 hours after the IG story, Brown was behind bars with his own legal challenges to worry about. After flying into the UK ahead of his upcoming tour, the singer was arrested and charged on Thursday for allegedly beating up a man over the head with a bottle at a London nightclub in what year? 2023. District judge.
There we go. Latent pandemic. Yeah. Actually, with Chris Brown, he's just doing the same.
He probably was there with the bat.
At least it was a man.
Well, exactly. A district judge ordered that Brown, who filed a $500 million.
Reading numbers
is hard.
Is hard. We talk about it every episode.
Defamation lawsuit earlier this year over a documentary about his alleged extensive history of violence to be held in. So basically, a district judge ordered that he should be held in custody without bail until his next court hearing on June 13th, meaning that he will miss the first three dates of his tour. People are laughing at him, saying karma's a bitch. And also, they are also laughing that he asked for the UK to give him a visa. They granted him the visa, and then they just arrested him.
I just can't believe that the staying power of Chris Brown, I guess.
People
love him.
People, like, the most crazy fans, and they're like, he's the best dancer. And his tours were, like, in Germany and London. I'm like, who the fuck?
Yeah.
People, you know, will forgive abusers and make any excuse for abusers. I don't know.
Men need to, first of all, this is going to ruin the whole world tour. Like, men need to be careful. If you are a man over 40 right now, you need to be careful planning a world tour.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like,
you will get caught before you go on that world tour.
Exactly.
Yeah, truly. Like, think about the skeletons in your closet because they are coming out before the tour begins.
And his skeletons have been out. I think that with him, though, this is my one thing that I think maybe the dam is breaking breaking right now is I feel like with the first, I've been thinking a lot about, to bring up theater. You see John Proctor as the villain.
I haven't seen it, but I'm aware.
I've been thinking a lot about Me Too and a lot about like 2018 recently. I'm like, obsessed with bringing up years on this podcast. But like one of the things about the first round of 2018 is like we were so scared to cancel or like to really take action against like quote unquote hot men or conventionally attractive men. And I feel like the dam is starting to break right now.
You're saying if you were ugly, you'd get canceled quicker.
Yeah, of course. Like Louis C.K., Harvey.
Harvey.
Like,
even
Bill Cosby was old at that point,
you know?
Yeah. Like, it's like Aziz isn't a looker. Like, you know, I think that it's like, it was like James Franco, sort of the only one I can think of that happened at that time. And that was a sort of a very quiet one when it happened.
It was very quiet.
Yeah, it was not. Like, he definitely was roundly canceled, but he wasn't one of the top tier cancellations of the day.
And I feel like it's like, obviously, Me Too has shifted a lot. And it's like, it's hard to even call it Me Too now, especially because all this is like so different. But it is like, oh, I feel like we are now finally, the dam is breaking and we're able to like actually hold these people who like would have fans that aren't like creepy men, if that makes sense, you know? Or like industry power, like it's a very different kind of thing happening, and I'm like.
So what you're saying is you want to fuck Chris Brown?
No, but I just mean like you know what I mean. Like I think it's like this is like now there's something happening.
No, there's a second tier.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah, like it's interesting the different like echoes that Me Too has had because like in terms of tangible convictions there aren't that many, but because Louis C.K. didn't go to jail, Bill Cosby's out of jail right now,
right?
Like. There's all these things. Like
it was really just like Weinstein.
Right.
Weinstein, R. Kelly, but R. Kelly took a while.
And R. Kelly is one where it's like, R. Kelly is someone who maybe you could consider conventionally attractive. I feel horrible, disgusting saying that.
No, but
R. Kelly's one where like, that stuff's been out there since like the year 2000.
Yeah.
Like,
and it took a while to make things stick. Like, they tried over and over and over and over again to make things stick and nothing would stick.
And that's very similar, again, because it's like, I feel like I knew about R. Kelly, like, peeing on someone from when I was really too young to know about somebody peeing on somebody else.
And now every kid knows about the Trump pee tape.
I know.
But it's different because, I don't know, the people that Trump, the piss tape thing was like, people he paid that also were of age.
Of course,
And even felt, you know, whatever. Like,
Jesus Christ. It's like, those girls were allowed to pee on Trump.
Right.
But I was just
and he peed on her, and the girl was 13. It's different.
And I know this loops into the next round of discourse that we're going to get into, but I did hear when I was visiting family recently that, like, teenage boys find the Diddy baby oil thing very funny. And they make a lot of Diddy baby oil related jokes without really, like, understanding what that is. And, like shirts and shit that say, like, Diddy party and stuff are, like,
they think
popular.
It's, like, funny.
Yeah, among, it's like, really Gen scary. Alpha kids. And it's actually scary. And it makes me think about, oh, yeah, I knew that shit about R. Kelly when I was a kid. And
it was funny,
we were like, oh, haha, R. Kelly peed on someone. And it's like, well, it was actually a child and he's actually a predator and like all of this stuff. So it is interesting to think about how this stuff becomes a joke to kids.
Yeah. And like, but it's just like the lack of world experience.
Yeah.
That like shapes their thing into thinking that this is like a funny joke. So let's move on to the Diddy court case, which is currently happening. The trial is going on right now. Last week, it heard opening statements. If you want to hear basically almost a 2-hour Patreon episode of me and Elise going through, it's called The Crime Line, the Diddy Crime Line, a timeline of all of Diddy's crimes since 1994.
Yeah.
We have it, and it's crazy, and it doesn't start where you think. His series of crimes actually started with a crowd crush, which is crazy. And if it starts with a crowd crush, it's only going to happen. Yeah.
And he's been doing this for longer than you've been alive. I'm like, Diddy has been in operating criminal enterprises since before you walked this earth.
That's crazy.
The crowd crush was a little different, but still, like, it's just crazy. Like, this guy has whatever. So the 55-year-old was arrested last September and faces...
He's old at this point.
He's old. I know. He's old.
And he's in jail with Luigi.
And he's in jail with our boy Luigi.
And SBF.
And Sam Bakeman Fried.
That's a blunt road.
So
and
crazy.
That's, you know what? And let's talk about orgy. Talk about poly and open relationships with SBF. So he's facing charges including racketeering, sex trafficking, and transportation to engage in prostitution. He could be sentenced to life in prison if convicted. In the federal criminal case heard in New York, Mr. Combs is charged with racketeering conspiracy, 2 charges of sex trafficking. Most of the severe allegations relate to the racketeering conspiracy charge. This also includes accusations of kidnapping, drugging, coercing women into sexual activities, sometimes using firearms or threats of violence. His raid on his Los Angeles mansion found supplies that they were intended for use in orgies known as freak-offs, including drugs and, like Elise said, more than 1,000 bottles of baby oil. So Cassie, who is his ex-girlfriend, so she filed a civil lawsuit and got a $20 million settlement. So now she's testifying, and this is a federal, like, I just want to bring up, like, it's a federal case separate from her civil case. He's, like, basically getting the RICO charges or whatever.
Yeah.
Cassie's currently 8.5 months pregnant, and she testified for nearly 20 hours over 4 days in his federal criminal trial. She described the physical abuse she said she endured during their relationship and detailed how Combs orchestrated drug-fueled sex performances he called freak-offs. She became emotional as she said she would give back her entire $20 million civil settlement to have never endured a freak-off. This is all to say, obviously, the discourse around this has been so shitty. People are like, why is she testifying if she got money? And it's like, it's a separate case. She's got subpoenaed. You can't fucking not go to a subpoena.
Yeah.
Also, she probably was pressured to take settlement. Like, you know, no matter how much money it was, like, they probably were like, she probably was in fear.
Well, you know? She's basically, the settlement was like, she wrote a book about detailing everything in great detail. And the settlement was like, I'm going to sell this book. And they're like, no. And then they settled. Like, they gave her money. But, like,
people get on this, like, weird high horse about all of this stuff. And it's like, well, why did you take the money if you were so wronged? And it's like, you don't know what, you have no idea what it is like to be and I don't have any idea what it's like to be in litigation against someone so powerful, so wealthy, has all of these resources. Like, until you've been in that situation, you don't fucking know if you would take the money or what. And sometimes when you're behind closed doors, your lawyer says to you, they're gonna win because of
they'll find something on you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You have fucking kids, like, you're pregnant with your third child, you have a life, like, you just want to move on. And also, this was a point that people were saying online, which I really agree with, is like, you can't even ask your boss for a raise. Like, me personally, I did a show a few weeks ago for this influencer. This bitch has not paid me. And I'm, like, nervous about asking her about money I'm owed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, these are real things. So it's like...
But you're going to stand up to Diddy in court.
But I'm
going
to stand up to Diddy,
like...
who's, like, gave me guns to hold and beat the shit out. Like, shut up. So, of course, men on Twitter are going ape shit. And then we have this shitty tweet. Somebody said, at Hefe4Q said, honestly, I wouldn't even blame Cassie's husband if he divorced her. Basically saying, like, for everything, because basically during the court testimony, she's like, he made me sleep with all these guys and all this stuff. And of course, the conversation went to, instead of Diddy's whatever, the conversation was like body count. And like, can you really take a woman seriously if she's fucked this many guys and blah, blah, blah?
Well, okay. I mean, I guess what I would say to this is like, does this guy think Cassie's husband wasn't aware of this stuff? Like, she's been in litigation with Diddy for years now at this point. Also, this is like part of, if she's married to him, I just think it speaks to what type of relationship this person would have with his wife if he thinks that this information would in any way be new to her husband. Like, that's crazy.
Well, also that, like, if your wife went through something before you, like, it counts against. And also, like, you know, famously, Cassie's husband was her personal trainer that Diddy hired, which is like the biggest fucking like win ever. But anyway, so many people said this tweet, so stupid, got 15 million views.
I know, I'm looking at that. 15 million views, crazy.
But only 1.8 thousand likes. So that's like whatever.
So everyone's sending it, being like, this is disgusting.
So it was so crazy. The conversation was so insane that Cassie's husband came out with a statement. He says, over the past 5 days, the world has gotten to witness the strength and bravery of my wife, freeing herself from her past. There has been speculation online surrounding how it must feel for me to sit there and listen to my wife's testimony. I have felt so many things sitting there. I felt tremendous pride and overwhelming love for Cass. I felt profound anger that she has been subjected to sitting in front of a person who tried to break her. So to him and all those who helped him along the way, please know this. You did not. You did not break her spirit, nor her smile that lights up every room. You did not break the souls of a mother who gives the best hugs and plays the silliest games with our little girls. You did not break the woman who has made me a better man. I did not save Cassie, as some have said. It to say that is an insult to the years of painful work my wife has done to save herself. Cassie saved Cassie. She alone broke free from abuse, coercion, violence, and threats. She did the work of finding the demons that only a demon himself could have done to her. All I have done is love her as she has loved me. Her life is now surrounded by love, laughter, and our family. This horrific chapter is forever put behind us, and we will not be making additional statements. We appreciate all the love and support we receive, and we ask that you respect our privacy as we welcome our son into a world that's safer, that is now safer because his mom.
That's beautiful.
I know. I keep seeing so many nice things about Cassie's husband. I was not aware of like this stuff about him being her personal trainer.
Oh, he was a personal trainer. She's older than him.
And
that's awesome.
I'm like, all of this is beautiful. It seems like he's a really good husband. Yeah. So sorry to this poster. It seems like he actually married her because he loves her.
Yeah.
Also, like one thing about the settlement that reminded me of is like, of course you take settlement. You want to put this all behind you. You want to live your freaking life. Like, you don't want to be in litigation. Like, you don't want this. Like, I'm sure Cassie doesn't, like, I'm sure she's in some way obviously wants justice and the feds getting involved obviously, like, make that happen. But, like, if you are in a position where you could be in a horrible civil lawsuit with a ton of money or take the money and be like, yep, I get to start my life again. Like, you take that. You move on. You get to, like, you want a new life. You don't want to experience the trauma over and over again. You know?
Exactly. No, people don't realize, like, the weight that even just like the smallest lawsuit we'll have.
Yeah.
So that part of my lore is that when I was a little kid, I was injured at a Sizzler.
A Sizzler
restaurant.
You even know what that is?
They're like a West Coast restaurant. And get this, I burned my foot at this Sizzler. So I was sizzled there.
Sizzled at the Sizzler.
I got sizzled. And my parents sued Sizzler and we were in litigation forever, and it was so long and so drawn out, and like we ended up getting like kind of like a small amount of money, but not even that much. And my parents, their feeling from that, like afterwards, it took years to deal with this the sizzling that happened. And like my parents afterwards, they were like, we would never do it again, we would never sue anyone again. It took so much out of them. My mom was traumatized because Sizzler's lawyer tried to say that she purposefully sizzled me so that they could get the money.
Do. But that's what they do.
And it was traumatized. My mom was like, I would never sizzle my daughter. And then like,
I would never sizzle my baby.
And then like,
these lawyers are scary. I was in a fire in college and I got $0 from it, even though it was entirely the college's fault. And they tried to say that my mom was a negligent mother for sending me to this college that I was in a fire in. The way they psychologically torture you.
Yeah, exactly.
I was almost like, I had a really abusive employer and I was going to be in a class action lawsuit. And I guess the lawyers, even the lawyers on the side that wants to represent us, were so rude and harsh to me that like it completely, and they were so like terrible that I'm like, you guys are on my side and you're crazy because they want to like subject you and get you. And I'm like, this isn't worth it for me. Like, that's by design, right?
Yeah.
So, well, fuck Diddy. And now,
and fuck Diddy.
On our episode with Tessa Scara titled Don't Date a Streamer, we discussed troubling behavior from streamer DDG, who complained about how his ex Halle Bailey, was withholding their son from him after Halo appeared in a Kai Cenat live stream in a garbage bag.
There's so much darkness in this world.
Yes, so much darkness in this world. He complained on multiple videos and live streams, and he even made a diss track titled Don't Take My Son. At the time, he claimed via a live Twitch stream that he actively wanted to avoid going to court as a legal proceeding, quote, makes everything more messy than what it is. Halle kept silent, only addressing the garbage bag scenario while sustaining harassment from his fans. His fans harassed her so much, she's like had to like deactivate and reactivate her profiles a few times. Like every time he says something, she has to deactivate, right? So on May 16th, Halle Bailey was awarded temporary sole physical and legal custody of her son amid the ongoing abuse allegations against her ex-boyfriend. I will say, when we talked about it at the time, all we talked about was really his behavior online. We didn't know any, like, obviously he didn't share it and she was silent. So no one knew anything about the abuse. It was just like, we were like, this guy's a fucking weirdo for how much he's posting about his wife and then, or his ex. And finally, we find out that he's been abusing her. So she claimed that DDG came over to work out a visitation schedule for their 16-month-old, and that's when allegedly things got heated. Per TMZ, Bailey claims she was putting Halo into his car seat when DDG allegedly became agitated and told her to get out of his car. According to the outlet, the two began wrestling, and that's when DDG reportedly started pulling her hair, slamming her face into a steering wheel, and he chipped her tooth, and you can see the... TMZ has all the pictures. TMZ notes that the restraining order that was requested contains photos of her injuries, including the chipped tooth and bruises on her arm. In the document, she also alleges that DDG showed up at her home in March, allegedly when she wasn't there, allegedly entered without permission, went to her bedroom, and texted a photo of her empty bag along with the message, "Now I know what you've been on, LOL," implying that, like, oh, you're fucking other guys. Like, look at your bed. Like, now I know what
kind of
bullshit.
He just texted a picture of her empty bed, though?
Yes.
You could go to my house and text a picture of my empty bed right now. I've just been in there with my cat.
Yeah, well.
I don't.
Exactly.
I'm like, what?
That doesn't mean anything. But I guess it means it was, like, in disarray in a certain way. That
so she didn't make the bed?
She didn't make the bed because she was too busy fucking, like, apparently, at least.
I feel like when I'm fucking, I make my bed. And when I'm not fucking, my bed is more of a mess.
When I know I'm going to fuck. The bed is clean.
The bed is clean. I'm like, you know I'm fucking if you see pillows fluffed up. Nice.
Yeah.
I'm never cleaner than when I'm about to fuck, which happened twice a year. So she reportedly claimed that DDG returned to her house several days after the alleged incident. And I think when we were talking about, like, the troubling thing with DDG, we brought up how she was sick with RSV. That day, this is what came out in the court documents, he comes over without letting her know. And she says, like, her and her baby were sick with RSV and she didn't want Halo to leave the house. She alleges that he became verbally abusive, smashed her Ring camera, ran off with her phone, drove down the street with her phone, threw her phone into the bushes. So he was talking all that, don't take my son, all that shit. Meanwhile,
this is how he's acting.
This is how he's fucking acting.
And she has all this evidence.
And she has all, but she's not saying anything online. Right. Yeah. It's all compiled. Bailey also claimed that DDG contacted her earlier this month while she was on vacation in St. Lucia with her sister. And he texted her links to social media posts claiming that she was with Brett Faiyaz, which is an R&B singer. Basically, there's a picture of Brett Faiyaz, this R&B singer, on the beach. DDG concluded that they were at the beach together, even if she was with him. Like, they're not together. Yeah, so like, who fucking cares?
What if she is?
Yeah, but meanwhile, he's going on dates on his live stream, but whatever. But she denies it. She was granted a temporary restraining order against DDG, which requires him to stay more than 100 yards away from her and Halo through June 4th, which is when the former couple's next court hearing is scheduled. He's also ordered to stop posting and streaming about her and their child. He's not allowed to take his son outside of Los Angeles County, and he can only have one weekly supervised visitation by an outside company, because every time they've tried to talk about, like, scheduling, that's when DDG goes crazy. So
Well, the thought that I had when they were like, and you can no longer stream about Hallie or your child. It's like when they tell Tanya Harding, like, you can't skate anymore.
Yeah. It's like, he's going to lose his entire viewership.
Yeah. I'm like, I mean, I know he like plays video games or whatever. Yeah. I guess he can still do that, whatever he does in that capacity. But it is like, yeah, dude, you blew it in such a crazy way. Because to me, it just always, I don't know, I guess I try to get into people's mind and I'm like, what did you think was going to happen if you were posting all this stuff, but you know that on the side, this is what you're doing?
I do think that streamers' brains are all like more melted than we know.
Yeah.
Like, I think that streaming, this is a terrible guy. I'm not saying streaming is what did it to him, obviously. But I'm like, oh, like the way that he's like, so like online in a way where it's like stream when you're a streamer all the time, and I like have read about some people, I have a friend who like sort of this happened to her, but like it's like it really warps your brain and it makes you see things in a way that like you actually can't interface with the reality in the same way. I think like he clearly is like so out of touch because everything is about like this like ongoing exchange, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like and streaming specifically is like he's on stream and he's only engaging with his top fans.
Right.
He has people paying money to talk to him, for them to acknowledge, for him to acknowledge them. He's only getting like positive feedback. Anyone that he doesn't like, they don't care. They don't care about evidence. Yeah. They will immediately like fucking harass Hallie without knowing any facts. Like, yeah, like that has to fuck up your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like, to your point, to be in this constant dialogue, like that's your thing, because these streamers, they're on for like what, like fucking five,
it's
7 hours?
It's not as YouTube or any other kind of thing. Yeah. It's like streaming. It's like your brain is like, you are completely detached from reality if you're like a serious streamer.
You're like
the Kai Sanders stuff. It's like he is like so like all. I mean, his shit is like stupid, but like he's detached from reality. Some of the stuff that he does, you know.
Yeah, because it's like this is not how a normal human processes information. Engages with people thinking that there's no consequences, like
and that everything, I feel like it probably makes you feel like everything is kind of fake and on like everything is fake and real in a weird way, and like that everything can be a stunt, and like you're, it just I think definitely streamer brain is something to be studied.
I worry about a good guy streamer's brain. Like, I think that his brain is like,
who?
Like, obviously, he just went through something, Hassan. Like, I think that, like, you know, like, I think that, like, I worry, you know?
I know. I really hopefully, he can use the power of streamer brain for good.
It's
tough. You have to put yourself, it's like, any of these social media things that we talk about, like, friends of ours who are, like, super big on TikTok, friends of ours who are super big on whatever, different platform, it's like, there is a trade-off that you have to work within yourself. Like, to have to feed the TikTok beast all the time, like, I have friends who it's like every single second they're like trying to turn things into a video.
Well, taking the picture of the bed, it's like, that to me is the streamer brain. It's like, this guy would have been a bad guy in any context. If he worked at State Farm, he'd probably be an asshole.
Yeah.
But he's elevated and has all this power. I will say, in defense of Hassan, which is something that we talk about a lot, is that Hassan's content is majority politics. So he reads an article that comes out, he talks about it. DDG is just like about his life, about his thing. Like, when you make your life the center of it, it's going to be crazy. And one of the crazy things, like, we're not going to show this video, but like, he was on Aiden Ross's live stream when he got the notification, supposedly, about him getting this restraining order. And he was like, whoa, like caught off guard and was processing it. And Aiden Ross had to be like, my friend's a good guy. Like, I can't believe this. It's just crazy. So anyway,
imagine not having a single private moment in your life. Like, you get a notification like that, but you're already on a live stream.
Yeah.
And so it's like, again, that's how your brain gets warped, when it's like you don't have a single moment to be like, oh my God, I lost custody of my son and my wife is suing me for abuse. And like, my ex is suing me for abuse. You don't even have a second to like process that.
The stream world is so scary. I think it's like the general media and like general sentiment now understands YouTube and the manosphere. Obviously, it took way too long for all of that.
Yeah.
But like, took 10 years. But like, the general public has not even like scratched the surface of how scary the streaming world is. Like, it is so much, it's 10 times scarier.
No.
Well, speaking of scary, what's happening, right, is that because DDG can't post about this, and this is why we're bringing this up, and like, this is an interesting point of conversation, is that because DDG can't post, what's happening is his employees, his fans are posting on his behalf and they're saying all kinds of crazy shit, calling her a liar, calling her this, calling her that. So we're going to watch two videos back to back. And I will say that the second video references Jay-Z and Beyonce. And there is a, because Halle and Chloe are Beyonce's prodigies, mm-hmm. there's a conspiracy theory saying that, like, Jay-Z and Beyonce are like pulling Illuminati things. Anyone who crosses them canceled, even though Halle's equally as abusive as DDG's. So this is from DDG's employee.
Now, basically, yeah, I've been doing this since I'm a fucking youngin'. All this motion ain't new to me, nigga. I'm getting the blues. I'm constantly. Dog's innocent.
Okay.
Just the only way to get full custody of the child is to put false claims on the person. Because you can't just get full custody just to get full custody. You know, if you look back in history, time repeats itself. The women just post false claims on the person.
That's it.
Okay, so this guy is the most disgusting freak I've ever legit seen.
Yeah, he has wraparound sunglasses and this, like, little
knit gay-ass hat. Like, and let's call it this gay-ass crochet hat.
Yeah, and... And I'm like, there is
Etsy
no one.
Freak, fuck off. Enough. You think you're Bodhi? No.
I do just have to say visually, that man, there is no one I would take legal or historical advice from less than the man that we just watched.
Yeah. And this one, somebody reposted this. This is, I guess, a famous streamer. And I guess he has his own abuse allegations. Because somebody reposted this as, like, abusers defending abusers, you have to laugh. So let's hear what he has to say.
Ali, she had bruises right here, right? That's not like a I'm punching on you mark type of... That's a holding somebody type of mark. If somebody get hit, right? Your eye would have been black, lip would have busted. But if you got marks right here, I'm not saying he's not abusing her. I'm not saying he is abusing her. Somebody got marks right here, clearly that means... He was holding her. Mermaid should have stayed under the sea. On my soul. On my granny. She was doing fine under the sea. And then from what I heard, she was abusive. Hey. Not sticking up for neither of these people. But from what I heard. She was a little crazy. Don't let that innocent sense fool you. And then DDG can't talk about it, though. Hey, Jay-Z, if you looking at this, I love you, boy. Beyonce, if you looking at this, I love you, girl. I don't want no bottles in my house. Hey, I love you.
It's very funny to call someone else crazy and have that energy in the call. Like,
it's also like, okay, but it's like, yeah, he didn't punch her with the bruises. It hurt. The whole thing hurt.
Yeah, like, why was he holding her so hard on both arms that she has visible hand marks?
Like,
that's also bad.
It wasn't like an epic snuggle. Like,
no.
Well, they said it, they were wrestling because he was pushing her out of the thing. And so, like, that is, either way, like, wrestling as abuse.
Yeah, like why is he wrestling her?
No one wants a big ass guy to wrestle you.
Why? It just, all of it is wild. And then for him to be like, and I heard all this other stuff about her. And it's like, right, but you are talking about actual visible evidence that you have seen and have admittedly seen that he has abused her, which are bruises on her arms that you, I guess, don't think are that big of a deal. But where is any of the evidence for what you're claiming about her?
It's very Amber Heard because there is, like, videos taken out of context where I think she's, like, upset with DDG in one video and said, shut up or something. And they're like, well, they abused each other, you know, the mutual abuse thing, which is apparently a load bearing tweet that I didn't know of. But like, apparently, like this mutual, somebody quoted like around the Amber Heard trial was like, this mutual abuse thing sounds like she just beat his drunk ass back, which
defend
is what
herself.
Yeah, defend herself.
Like,
So I don't know when I'm going to bring this up. But I don't know if this happened before or after the restraining order, but DDG did go on stream, talk about how like streamers' brains are broken. He did like download an AI version of Halle's voice and argue with her about custody on a live stream.
Oh my God.
And then like, he didn't even win the fight.
No way.
He was like, why are you doing, you know what I mean? Like the AI thing was like giving him a piece of his own. medicine, I guess. So yeah, like that's pretty fucking embarrassing.
Also, like to have like that is a couple downloads. To have the executive functioning to be like, I'm gonna download this AI to have this fight and then lose.
And then lose. Yeah.
Like
and when an AI is like designed to just give you what you want from it. Like it's designed to respond in the way that you clearly want it to respond. So it is very funny to lose a fight to AI.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because that's kind of what's happening with Grok right now is that like the Elon Musk AI on X is that people wanted to like say anti-vax stuff and Grok is like not, so it's like pretty funny.
Can I say one more thing about Grok since he was invoked?
Yes.
A friend of mine was like auto applying for a bunch of jobs on Indeed and didn't realize until after he like got called in for an interview, which he then declined, that one of the jobs he applied for was to teach Grok French.
Oh my God.
He was like, no, I actually don't want to teach Grok French.
Grok can't learn French?
Grok can't learn French without a human.
That's crazy.
Somebody's got to teach Grok French.
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to be my friend, though.
Okay, well, I'm going to move on. Anyway, just to like kind of put a pin on this specific thing, it's gotten so crazy all week / weekend that all these like anti-women people are online are kind of harassing anyone who says anything about the situation that is not in total alignment with them.
Can't wait to see you on our YouTube.
Jesus Christ.
they come to you?
Yeah.
No.
They'll come on. There's some on our YouTube shorts.
Yeah. We usually just get bots that are like, wow, awesome episode. I have a Bitcoin wallet. And I'm like, okay.
Well, I was a victim of, not a victim, of course. Mm-hmm. That's not the word I'll use. But I got like all the meme of like, nice try, Diddy. Like I got like a video that I did for work, got like a bunch of views and I got like thousands of comments that were like, nice try Twink Diddy, nice try
Twink Diddy.
All the comments were like, nice try Gay Diddy, nice try Twink Diddy, nice try Jew Diddy. And I'm like, what?
So if you're Gay Jew Twink Diddy, then what is Diddy about?
Exactly.
You?
Yeah. But this is whatever that meme is. Like, yeah. You know.
Well, okay. So at Neighborhood Alky Pops made a TikTok video. This was a guy who made a TikTok video about how he's so confused why so many men are defending abusers and DDG. And also that DDG is a loser. His raps suck. Like he's whack. And he got so many comments saying that he was pandering to women and like got and like, you know, people are like, hope she sees this, bro. You fucking suck. So he made this really funny video.
But y'all little black boys make black men look so fucking bad on this goddamn app. You think I'm on this app to bag some women? You think I really care about bagging women on this app? I'm in Chocolate City with some of the most beautiful black women in the country. When I'm outside every weekend, go touch grass. You in here watching an 8-hour stream, sending $30, $40 to a streamer just so he can hear your comment. You a loser. And then you're going to go on this app as soon as they come out with some news that he an abuser. You come on this app and the first thing you do is defend this man. Y'all is champ. Y'all some losers. You really think I got to come on this app to find some women? When I'm in Chocolate City outside and you don't touch grass? You 16 years old in my comment section trying to get some likes from other little boys. Y'all is champ. If you don't see how y'all losers, I don't see. You're out here trying to impress the little boys instead of stepping up and be a man. My father told me I was a man when I was 14 years old. Y'all don't got that type of treatment. That's the fucking problem with y'all little niggas, man. Y'all little niggas is, I can't even say the words I want to say on this app, but y'all ain't made right. Y'all ain't built right, and I'm here to straighten your ass up. You can call it pandering all you want. And I'm on this app for jokes and laughs. And I hate to be the serious person on this app, but y'all like to key-key-key y'all way into a bunch of weak-ass young men. Y'all like to key-key-key until it ain't funny no more. Y'all grow up and y'all weak. Meanwhile, all of the abusers in this goddamn country is biological fathers. These, they got a map. They got statistics of most of the abusers to women and children in this country is biological fathers. Y'all are having children, abusing the children, abusing your nieces, abusing your nephews. And then you got these weak ass men. You got to see the signs when it's early. And I'm going to start beating you little niggas up. That's what I think we need to do. We need to start beating these little niggas up because they showing signs that they're going to grow up to be abusers right now.
Okay. I just thought, I was like, we got to hear a man's perspective.
That went so many directions.
I know. Chocolate City is D.C., apparently.
Yeah, I was going to ask what Chocolate City is.
Washington, D.C.?
It used to be really well known as Chocolate City because there has a lot of black people.
Yeah.
But then apparently...
To call that now is crazy.
Yeah, I know, but... Where he's at.
There's still pockets of Chocolate City.
There's still
pockets
of Chocolate City. I mean, Howard's there. And yeah, all that stuff, so.
I mean, I do think it is. It is funny. Like, for the immediate thing that I thought when you said that people were telling him, like, oh, you're pandering to women. It's like, these are people who are obsessed with, like, women only like alphas and, like, women want this. And it's like, women like someone who is going to pander to them a little bit. Who cares what they think? Who cares that they're safe? And also, it is what he's saying. He's like, I meet women outside in the real world.
I had to share. I had to put this clip because he says our show name
I
twice.
Know.
He says,
yeah. Oh, touch, we had to.
Crash. But this is a perfect example of, just like you're saying, these streamers' brains are fucked up and then their fans' brains are fucked up. Like, they think you can just lie to the courts. Like, that is a huge crime. They think a court is going to believe a black woman that lies to them. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's not how that works.
So to round out the loser brigade.
Okay.
We're going to go to this. We're going to make a quick right. We have not the most offensive loser on this list, but definitely the most funny. And it's this guy, Hayden, who I guess Tinder is showing, like, statistics, like the way that Spotify Wrapped does, Tinder has. No, so apparently,
that's good for I'm like, that's not good.
So apparently, this dude swiped 2 million times and only got one date. So we'll see the picture. So on the left, you can see his Tinder insights. So you could see that he swiped on 2 million 50. I'm like, I don't even know.
No, it's over 2 million.
Over 2 million. Swipe left on 38,000 women.
His thumb does look strong in that picture.
Yeah, he is holding a giant fish like in one of the pictures.
He might just have an extremely strong thumb who can, like...
He matched with 2,053 women and then chatted with 1,269 women and only had one date to show for it.
And zero relationships, zero casual sex.
And one no smart. And
well, I will say this, first of all. It's been a few years since I've been on a dating app, but I will say, like, who is the freak who logs every date?
You know,
normally if it goes well, you don't click the, oh, I went on the date button.
Yeah,
you're like,
I don't want you guys to fucking know my business.
Like, it's like, I'm not filing my tax return to the dating app. You don't need to prove this.
It's very, listing yourself as it's complicated on Facebook back in the day. Yeah. It's like, this is actually too much information. Like, the first part of this map, it's like, okay, that's stuff that Tinder would know, I guess.
Over 5 years, I will say. And 5 years and 93 days he's been on.
Yes.
And 2 million people. So, so this was posted on an account called Signal. And this
guy... But that's different than Signal where... You can buy weed and do like wars and stuff.
So this guy, he's like framing it as like a kind of tragic story. He's like, he's not just some unlucky guy. He's the norm. Like, imagine the money he spent over 5 years, probably a small fortune. This is obvious, but this is actually non-obvious. What's actually non-obvious is that his behavior unlocked an entire new revenue stream for apps. Let me explain. Most people don't realize that one of the biggest revenue unlocks in dating apps was when they figured out how to subtly turn women from users into paying customers by leveraging guys who like this who flood the system with likes. These dudes were already heavy paid users, thus monetized. When women get bombarded with likes, flattery, attention, it triggers this shopping mentality. Men become products and women become discerning customers. Women's standards shoot through the roof. Apps capitalize on this by introducing filters like height, etc. to help women weed out most dudes. Features like sending roses or boosting profiles fit perfectly into this dynamic. Over time, women start believing that paying will show them the top 2% of men, the most desirable. So they start subscribing, convinced that a premium membership means premium matches. It's like shopping at Aritzia versus Zara. More expensive means more perceived quality. This is how dating apps monetize both sides at scale. Men desperately trying to be seen and women paying not to see them. It's a zero marginal cost product that doubled revenue just by making chaos profitable. Pretty incredible if you think about it.
The Aritzia Zara comparison is kind of funny because it's like, yeah, you pay a little more and you get like kind of a better product bit. Like,
I'm like, Aritzia and Zara aren't.
Yeah, they're not
they're
that
the
different.
Same.
Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm just like, maybe Aritzia's a little nicer.
Yeah. Know. So it's interesting because these are the things that he posted from this guy. He's not even Hayden. Hayden 26. But people, of course, dug people who are like, first of all, this is not true. Like, if he's getting to a lot of people are like, if he's chatting 1,268 people and only going on one date, that is not the app's problem.
No. That also just means that he is pressed the button, I went on a date once. That's it. Like, it's also like, it's a button you press in the app. Like, they don't know if it led to, you know.
Well, maybe he's saying, this guy's saying that he has only gone on one date.
Yeah.
So let's look at more pictures of the profile that got resurfaced.
Okay, so it's a lot of dead fish.
That's like, so, and read the, can you read the description for on the...
Okay, so this is a description on, it's a picture of him holding a fish, wearing full camo, and he's holding a dead fish, and he's kind of presenting it like, he's like down on one knee, he's like presenting it like you would present a ring.
Yeah.
If you're not trying to go fishing, I don't want it. My idea of a vacation is going to the desert and looking for snakes for a week. Sorry. My idea of a vacation is going to the desert and looking for snakes for a week. I may or may not currently own 33 snakes. No.
Okay. He's completely awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Next slide. Zach, why don't you tell us what's
another
on
fish?
His, what's the sweater he's wearing?
Oh no. Okay. He's been hiding these balls. Let's talk about that. But then I don't support Balton. This is a lifestyle. But he, his sweatshirt says Sitya. S-I-T-Y-A. Oh, yeah. Sit ya ass on my face. And it's a girl who...
Like a naked girl.
Naked girl sitting her ass on your face, like his face.
Mm-hmm. And he's holding a fish. I just really need everyone to know he's
one of
another dead fish in like a scary tent.
And he's making a face that's like really... It seems like this, like he was caught off guard, like he was about to smile for the photo. I don't understand why you would post this image.
Also, like, if you zoom, I don't know if we can zoom in on the glasses, but like, it doesn't look like someone's taking the picture of him. It doesn't look like flash. It looks like it's like a photo with picture that looks like a computer screen.
He's taking this on his laptop's camera.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's presenting the fish to his laptop's camera while wearing a sweatshirt that
in
says, sit on my face. Sit your ass on my face.
He wants to eat your ass.
Sit your ass on my face.
So do you think that it's because, I mean, wow, what do you feel like is the reason why he's swiped right on 2 million? And
I will say, though, it's like coming out of the conversation, I'm like, he is clearly not the worst man out there. Like,
well, I mean, here's what I will say is like that woman that he went on the one date with, like,
it's his wife.
I know. I'm like, that. He really should pursue that person who went on the one date with him. Because if she saw these pictures and she saw someone say, I have 33 snakes, my ideal date is to go to the desert and get snakes. It's like, don't let her get away.
Yeah.
Why did he, like, why isn't he pursuing her with vigor?
And listen, this is a huge discourse topic. On top of everything that's going on in with DDG, people are arguing about, like, is it this guy's skill issue? What's going on? This
think
and
it's
that.
A skill issue?
Or is it that the dating apps are terrible? And people are like, it's fake. This is a fake profile. But I'm like, the amount of guns that I've seen on Tinder, guys with guns, guys with AK-47s at a shooting range, thinking that this will make them look like an attractive partner. I do believe this is a real profile.
The only thing that makes me think it's a joke is him saying I may or may not
have 33
snakes. It's like if he was proud of the snakes, he'd say he had them.
Yeah.
And also,
you know, like that sounds like a joke.
Yeah, but I feel like it's a joke in the sense that I like very like this type of guy, like, I may or may not have 1 million snakes, princess.
Oh, like most interesting man in the world.
Type of.
And it's like, well, no one knows you. So do you have 33 snakes or not? And guys like to, oh, man.
Yeah, they want the first question to be, so do you have the snakes or not?
Yeah, exactly.
No, actually, there's plenty of men who I don't have to ask that to that I will just swipe right on instead.
Yeah.
Also, he
needs
an editor because all these pictures of fish and the first line of that is about fishing, but then the rest are about snakes. Pick a scaled animal. Like,
well, that's what also people are saying. Like, you can tell that he doesn't have any female friends that can tell him, like, hey, don't post that.
Right. Yeah, hey, this isn't
like,
good.
Like, just snakes or just fish. One of those honestly could work. Like, I'm sure there's a girl who loves snakes.
I feel like maybe don't lead with the snakes or fish, actually.
I bet there are girls who love snakes, though.
Yeah, my thing is like...
But they might not be a Venn diagram of fish and snakes.
Okay, so let's say we are his three female friends.
Yeah.
Two female friends, one gay friend.
Well, gay Jewish Diddy.
Yeah.
Gay Jewish Diddy.
Yeah, exactly.
And are here to help him with his profile. I would say... cut the fish entirely. Yeah. We don't need to be seeing the dead fish.
No.
You can mention you like fishing. And then I do think...
on a boat.
Maybe post on a boat.
Well, the thing about the fish, too, is like it's not even that it's bad. It's like everyone does it. It's so played. You know? It's like, be original. Set yourself out.
Like, all these like memes and jokes about guys holding dead animals. So it puts you in kind of an immediate like, oh, this guy's out of the loop category that he doesn't know not to be holding
and
a fish.
And he's only 26. That's the sad part.
And it is too many fish. I would say... do a picture of yourself on a boat fishing.
Yeah.
We can have a fishing rod.
Yeah.
That's great. And then I say, if he really does have 33 snakes, I think it's probably important that he mentioned some of the snakes on the profile just to weed out the people who wouldn't be interested in any snakes at all.
Yeah.
My pet snake is totally cute, you know?
Yeah.
Someone could fall for that.
I think there are snake girls who would be enticed to hear, like, I collect snakes, I have a bunch
of snakes. Britney
Spears. Yeah, exactly. He could have Britney Spears if he just upped his profile game a little bit.
Let's relax a little bit. Let's not go too far. I'm like, you know, what's the outfit like? Like, what else do you like? What would you be open to? I'm just like, I don't know.
I also think there's something about that aggressive type of profile that guys will do that's like, don't message me if blah, 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 blah. Don't even talk to me if you're a high maintenance girl who wants a regular vacation. I want to go to the desert with snakes. And it's like, people aren't going to, you're going to have a lower response ratio because you are coming at it from this place of like, don't message me if you're not da, da, da. And it's then people are self-selecting out.
And if you have a thing where saying sit your ass on my face on a dating app, like, it's already giving that you're saying some crazy wild shit to girls. Like, there'll be guys where I'm like, he's all right. But, like, maybe he'll be nice. Like, we can chat and we'll see what the conversation is like. Like, and then they're saying, like, hey, you want to come over and suck my dick? I'm like, dude, you are not hot enough to be hot.
Yeah. No, you know the chats that he's sending to people.
You know the chats are crazy. So
where did he get that sweatshirt?
There's a ton of things like that. And there's, like, I said last week, there's a whole kind of subculture of men who are like constantly talking about eating pussy and then in like a subculture of eating ass, so much so that it kind of horseshoes around and is misogynistic. And this guy is totally getting that from
where it's like, you want to eat my pussy for you. Yeah. You don't care about it for me. You want it for your own self.
Yeah.
You don't even care.
It's the giver.
It's the giver. Zach's like, sounds awesome.
No.
All right. Does that take us to our final segment?
So our Loser Brigade, guys, watch this space on all the losers.
From Loser Brigade to Grasshole of the Week. Zach, this is our segment where we declare the person who needs to log off the most. They must go touch grass. This week's grasshole is TikToker at SucculentAddict8. Who every article I read about this just called a woman named Monica from Texas. So I don't know if we have her full name, but her name is Monica and she is from Texas. And she has been going bad viral this week for posting this now deleted video to her personal page. We will watch it now.
This might be a hot take, but if you're 200 pounds, you shouldn't be in a Pilates class. There's no reason why they should allow 200 pound people in a level 2 class. You shouldn't be allowed to be a Pilates instructor if you have a gut and you're fat.
Oh my God.
So can you guys guess why she's going bad viral? So Monica from Texas, people did not respond
people are not gonna respond well
to this. Okay, so like immediately it starts going viral. It like starts a bunch of different discourses. Number one, it's like, okay, so you hate fat people, do you want, and you don't think they should be fat, but they're also not allowed to go to Pilates and be
also, I want to say this. Setting the bar at 200 pounds is like, that's like limiting a lot of, like,
yeah, 200
that's
pounds
really
is
scary.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. That's really
we're
scary.
We're in America, babe.
Right, that's a really scary number.
Real Doritos Locos Taco available. Like, you're cutting out 200 pounds, like, that's half of fucking.
Yeah, that's crazy.
200 pounds is also, is number one, not crazy, which was one of the discourses that came up, was like, yeah, a
just
lot of people,
there,
yeah, like a lot of people are 200 pounds or more, and it's really not that crazy. Number two, it's like, why? Okay, so you don't think people should be fat, but you also, they can't come to Pilates now,
yeah,
which we, whatever. Then people are also like, there's an additional discourse of people being like, this is why people don't go to the gym and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, right.
Even if, you know, there's a whole world of people who, like, take videos of people
oh,
who
yeah
are working out
know,
and
horrible
are fucked up, which is horrible.
Happens all the time. Even, like, mannequins with fat, like, a fat mannequin with workout, like, gear on it, that went viral in a bad way of, like, ew, what the fuck? We're promoting. And it's like, we can't even buy, like,
right,
yeah,
like, workout clothes.
You can't even see what your workout clothes would look like on the mannequin?
Yeah. It's crazy.
And so it's like, yeah, people being like, this is why people don't feel comfortable working out, because, you know, it's not that insane that someone would go to this Pilates class and maybe see this TikTok and be like, that girl was in my Pilates
yeah
class.
Like, also, it's like a civil rights issue. It's like, literally,
yeah,
like, not to be like, she literally could be like, if she were, not, if any place were actually to, like, institute a policy like this, like, that is genuinely like a set
it's
of,
illegal.
So, it's illegal.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. And also, like, specifically as somebody who's over 200 pounds and has taken Pilates class, like, Pilates specifically, I don't know if you're going to get into it, but, like, the origin of Pilates is supposed to be, like, a low-impact
yeah
yeah
workout, and it actually started with, like, disabled soldiers in a hospital bed doing exercises, because that's who it's, like, for. So
it's been taken over, yeah.
It's been taken over by, like, skinny women or whatever, but it is supposed to be a very inclusive workout.
Yeah, like, that's a huge discourse that they have in the yoga community, too, because people will bring that attitude to yoga. And it's like, no, actually, yoga is supposed to be, first of all, it's not even supposed to be primarily a workout. It's supposed
yeah
to be
like
a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
But even within that, like, fat people can bend. They can, like, stretch and stuff. Like,
yeah,
it's allowed. So
yeah, the two times a year that I'm cleaning my room to have sex, fat people are
fat people get banned.
Of course, like, it's it's just like, it's also like the thing, also these things, sorry, the thing about the instructor also is really like,
oh,
the first thing is like, she's stupid. Like, the first thing is like, she's stupid, she was dropped on the head as a baby.
Yeah.
The second thing is like, no, you like are like, like, why? You can't even, like, if you're an instructor, you have a gut. It's like the best Pilates instructor in the entire world can have a gut. Like, what are you fucking saying?
I know. It's like, why do you, if they're instructing you and they're just telling you what to do on the reformer, they're going like, up, 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 up. Why can't someone have a gut and tell you that?
Well, like, and like, that's what also, like, that's something that happens every few weeks. Like, even somebody that I knew a few years ago was like, I went to this exercise class and the person was fat, like, I asked for my money back. But it's all these biases about, like, what does health look like? Like, if somebody's skinny, that does that mean that they're very healthy? If somebody's fat, does that mean they're unhealthy? All this stuff that's like, when you just don't know. And also, like, you're getting a Pilates, I don't know, I'm not like looking at somebody's body while I'm Pilates is hard.
Right?
Yeah.
It's about strength. Also, when they go to the 200-pound thing, it's about strength.
Yeah.
Well, as we know, famously, muscle weighs more than fat. Like, what the fuck are you saying? The strongest person in the world should be in that, you know?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's just completely ridiculous. And, like, mean-spirited and weird. And also, like, what do you think you're going to get out of posting something like this? It's very funny to me when someone's like, this is my hot take, and then they say something fucking horrible, and then they're like, oh, no, everyone's mad at me. And it's like, you knew when you said
yeah
it.
But I feel like because we have this, like, quote unquote fake body positivity era in the high time of Lizzo and all this stuff and like all this. And then now because of like Ozempic and then like skinny talk and like eating disorder, like subreddits are like popular and it's getting, so people are like, oh, thin is back again. So I feel like people feel like, oh, the tide's turning, it's cool to be mean to fat people. And it's like, to a certain really sad extent, like, just like it's, there's always going to be misogynistic people, there's always going to be racist people on the internet, there's always going to be people who are fat phobic online. But I think maybe she thought like everyone was going to be like, hell yeah. Like, she really thought she ate with that. Like, yeah. She was like, hell yeah, girl, you're so, LOL, this is so funny. But it's like, it's not funny. You really believe that. And it's wrong. And like,
yes.
People can say you're wrong.
The thing that I've been thinking about too with Thinspo and all this stuff coming back, and also obviously it comes back with like Bad Men and stuff too, is like, I've been thinking a lot about how like canceling people is like riding a bike. Like, it might be like the discourse might be really bad right now. And like a lot of really bad like all these like Bad Men that we're talking about, yeah, in the comments, and also like all these like bad women. Like, right now the culture is like very, very bad, but it's like, it's going to swing back. And it's not like we all forgot how to fucking sink our teeth into these people and rip them open.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously it's happening right now for this girl, but like, these people need to be scared again, but they're not right now. Like, 5 years ago, maybe someone like this would be more scared, but it's like, canceling didn't go away. It's like just not the dominant discourse right now. And I'm saying it's going to come back as the way it did in like the 2010s.
I feel like it's going to come, they're priming it. Like, the pendulum is going to swing so bad.
So hard.
Yeah.
It's like riding a bike. Like, we will punch them out. Yeah. Like, you see, I literally am going to weapons of mass destruct all these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so I will say, like, this did not go well for her at all. It's hard to say because, like, again, the original video is deleted. So it's hard to say, like, how many times that was viewed. But it was shared and stitched and all of that shit, like, thousands of times. Then she starts getting dubbed Pilates girl.
But
like,
she's succulent addict.
She's Succulent Addict 8, but she's not online. Online, she's Pilates girl. And it's like, you know, when you get a name, you're fucking cooked. Yeah. Like, now you're in real trouble. Now you're getting like a wiki, like things are going bad for you. So she posts this, discourse starts going crazy. Then she posts a second video that I could only find stitches of, and people only stitch it after the first like 1 second. So there was no point in putting it here, but it's a video of her. She's still in like the very expensive workout gear look that she's in the first video. It's like an all cream ensemble.
Yeah. I was like, it's helpful to know that style of sunglasses is now out.
Yeah.
The rapper, what kind?
She has like the little cute ones that I thought, I've been thinking are cute. Yeah, now I know they're out.
Little,
so good to know.
She has the little ones. I could never do those. They just don't look right on my face. But anyway, everyone just stitches it after you hear her say, I think fat people should not be in Pilates classes. And then that's all I could see of it. And it's like, so she doubled down. She tried to make a second video where she explained why this is. It did not work well. That starts getting stitched. The conversation keeps going even more. And now with all that, she posts yet another now deleted video. And this one we can watch.
Oh, I'm so nervous.
Hey, guys. I wanted to come on here and just formally apologize for my last few videos.
They were
nasty. And I think the reason why I posted them was because I think there are some insecurities in me and some self-hate or something. But my membership got revoked, and I was told not to go back to work, so it's, you know, I've learned that I can't let those things, like, take over, because it's not okay, and it's just not pretty, and it's nasty. And I just feel really bad. I just feel really bad that I was just mentioned and it's just so toxic, and I'm just so sorry about that. That is, as you can see, that's not my content. That wasn't my content back then. And I don't know, I just feel really bad, and I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. I'm just, I think I just need to go to therapy, and I need to go to church, and I just need, I just need some, like, self-reflection, honestly. Because, that was just so nasty. But, anyway, I just wanted to formally apologize and say, I'm so sorry if I hurt your feelings. I just need to work on myself, and I can't let that self-hatred just, like, be reflected.
So, thoughts on the apology?
Who's driving, first of all?
Yeah.
I think she's just sitting in the car.
Yeah, I felt like it sounded like the car was moving.
It's
passenger.
Maybe
princess?
The car's on.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, what I heard is that she was found out to have an affair, and the affair was with her boss, and then she got let go.
Oh, okay. So she says you're low because of this, but she got low because of the affair?
I don't know. But
I did not see that. All I saw was that, as she said in this, that her Pilates studio did kick her
out.
That's
awesome. So to me, that's awesome.
You have to kick somebody out.
Yeah, because now it's like...
Now everyone's uncomfortable.
Well, also, it's like, this bitch is messing with your business. She's trying to say that people over 200 pounds shouldn't come to your studio. And like, she's...
That's most of America.
I know. Yeah. It's like, they're like,
in
no,
Texas?
We...
Yeah, of course.
Like, the studio is like, no, we want people to come to the Pilates studio.
Anyone can come, please.
Please come to the Pilates studio. And so there's that. And then it's also like once she's known for this, people aren't going to feel comfortable working out around her because it's like, well, is she going to make a video about me? So that happened. And then, yes, she was fired from her job at Stone Ridge Dental in San Antonio. I didn't hear anything about an affair or anything like that. But I mean, she was found.
Yeah.
They fired her. Like this got back to her Pilates studio and her job, which. When I first heard about this, I thought maybe she worked in the Pilates industry in some way. Nope. Just works at a dental office.
Also, sorry. Self-hatred? No. It's not. No, it's not. You,
it's
hate,
you
other
hate other
people.
People.
Yeah. Do not call it self-hatred, girl. It is you hate other people.
Well, I think sometimes when people say stuff like that, it's like the people who are most critical of fat people used to be fat or they struggle with their own thing. So it's like them seeing somebody who's fat, like fatter than them, they like... feel empowered to be like, well, at least I'm not like this person, whatever. But yeah, like, you know, using that as a way to like do crying. Like,
yeah, because I feel like I definitely do think that when someone's fat phobic, there is an element of self-hatred in there. But clearly what she's trying to do here is make you feel bad, you think, oh, she's insecure. Like, I feel bad for her. I do like that she was like, I need to go to church.
I'm like, I don't even find that church.
And therapy. Well, church and therapy together, maybe. But...
Honestly, that might be good for her. So she did mention, she was like, this isn't what my content used to be. I tried to figure out what her content used to be, but she has wiped her account. So if we go to this next slide, this is what Succulent Addict 8 looks like now. So she has 30,000 followers, which I kind of imagine is from this dust up for the most part.
Follow? I guess people want to follow Saga or evil people who are like her.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I think some people follow people who fucked up after mess to try to make sure they get the like new apologies. But she cleaned up her account to now just be 3 videos. 2 of them are cats. The most recent one has 2.2 million views, I think, just from people trying to find her and then viewing it. And if we go to this next slide, these are the comments on the video of the cat. The day this cat gains weight, it's over for him. Deleting the apology is worse than never posting one. She cleared her whole TikTok and everyone still found her. I'm crying.
Okay, this was also something that I found like, but apparently before she cleared it, she deleted all of her apology, whatever videos, but she still left her partnerships email on and everyone started like,
of course,
emailing the partnership.
Cause, and then this one creator was like, no one's going to ask you for a partnership.
What Pilates related group would want to partner with you when you literally
Regina
just,
George. Hi. Yeah. Like,
I mean, any brand right now, like.
Any brand, but also, again, she's trying to say that a really large group of people shouldn't use their product. That is not, no business wants that. The business wants people to buy the water bottle and the two-piece set and the whatever. So, but to your point about people finding her in like other places. So if you noticed, now her TikTok does not have a partnership thing, but it does still have a link to her YouTube. So I was like, okay, well, I gotta go to Succulent Girl 8's
YouTube.
So if we go next, so these are the comments on her most recent YouTube. Succulent Girl 8 has 15,100 subscribers. Again, I don't know how that shook out with before and after this.
Or did she have? But yeah.
The Succulent Girl 8, the YouTube, is actually all about succulents. And this is a video about succulents that was posted 2 years ago. So it's not an active YouTube. It has 6,700 views and 119 comments. And these are the comments. YouTube counts 30 seconds of watching a video as a view. So before you guys comment, due to the consequences of this woman's TikTok Pilates video, make sure you are pausing the video or let it run with no volume so that YouTube does not count it as a view.
Oh, my God.
Pretty paid, yeah.
I really hope you understand how damaging your video was. And I hope you can find it in your heart to uplift others rather than judge them and make assumptions when you do not know their life. Please do better. Went private everywhere else. What happened to Sweaty? I thought you were doubling down. Can't handle it anymore.
I think you meant what happened, Sweetie.
Oh, what happened, Sweaty? What happened,
Sweaty?
Oh, they did say what happened, Sweaty.
Yeah, they missed.
Okay. Anxiety-ridden Lizzie. You misspelled sweaty, sweetie as sweaty, and you confused me. But either way, people went to her basically defunct succulent YouTube to keep leaving these comments. So I will say, to your point about canceling being like riding a bike, people got on the bike. The bike was being ridden for Pilates girl, a.k.a. succulent addict 8. I guess my final question before we wrap this up is like, what do you think goes through the mind of someone posting this? I know we talked about it a little bit. Like, is someone really so outside of the culture that they're like, I'm not going to get pushback for this? Or do they think it's, or do they, people get, is it like the streamer brain thing of like, they think any attention's good attention, but then they get the bad attention and they're like, oh, this actually sucks?
I do think there's something with like her, and maybe I'm like, of course, like I'm like reading a think piece like too much about this, but like there's something about her saying she needs to go to church of like, she clearly has no community is my thought.
Yeah.
Like maybe she doesn't have community at the Pilates studio, whatever it is. And she, I mean, also like succulent, that's a lonely hobby.
Yeah.
Like extremely, but like she, like my guess, if I had to give her any ounce of like, not credence, but like of like why she does, like she probably has a group of 3 other evil friends that she speaks to,
yeah,
and an evil boyfriend, an evil sister, or whatever. And like, obviously it's like the loneliness epidemic that we all are hearing so much about. Like, people don't talk to other people. Like, people really, like, she probably speaks to 5 evil people and thought that like she could say this because she can say that to 5 evil people, you know?
Yeah. I also wonder if there's an element of like, okay, because it seems like she was trying to be a succulent influencer for some amount of time. Then it's like she's got an affiliate link or like a promotions email. It seems like a lot of the videos she deleted that were on her account were of fitness stuff. So it seems like maybe she's one of these
trying
people.
Trying to be an influencer. Yeah.
Yeah, who's like just trying to be an influencer. And then she was like, maybe I'll do a hot take. And then it's like, okay, yeah, no, you got the attention you wanted. Your cat video has 2.2 million views.
Yeah.
I do think rage bait is like, there's a good chance it was rage bait.
Yeah.
But just obviously it backfired because it's like, but I will say, well-crafted rage bait is artful. There's a girl I follow who like posted her like $7,000 month apartment in New York being like, this is what New York apartments get you. I pay $7,000 a month and there's no drawers in my bathroom. It's like, well, obviously I don't feel bad for you.
Yeah.
And like the comments were all dragging her, but like, and then 2 days later, she was like, I did that because my views were all tanking. And it was like, it was sort of like, that's awesome. Because like, she's playing into that. This is her. Like, if there's a world in which it was rage bait, it's like, it obviously was not thoughtful.
Well, here's the other thing with rage bait, too. It's like, if you're going to do that, if you're going to rage bait, like this
then
person you're talking about.
The rage gets baited.
Yeah, exactly. Like you, if you're going to be a provocateur, then you can't be mad when people are provoked. You got to be like, well, yeah, no, I posted something to piss people off. And they got all pissed off. You can't immediately be like, oh, actually, I need to go to church and I need to go to therapy and I'm actually insecure and I'm actually shy. And it's like, okay, you never should have gotten into the rage bait world. The true rage baiters will say this shit.
No, she would have been
shit.
On a Republican podcast immediately.
Right, yeah. Right,
and
yeah.
Like, everyone's too fucking snowflakes and I would have whatever. And she would have had her own shitty anti-vax gym where they don't let fat people in at all.
And like, have like fake science where she's like, so actually, when you're over 200 pounds, you can't do Pilates.
Right, yeah.
Like, it would be like fake fucking weird shit. Like, if she wants to do that, if you want to do that, there's a path for you, baby. And you could get partnerships with like MAGA Jewels or
like
whatever.
MAGALOTTIES.
Yeah. MAGALOTTIES. Oh my God.
MAGALOTTIES. But it's just like, I mean, that's what all those Real Housewives of New York retirees are doing.
Right.
Ramona Singer is doing MAGALOTTIES. And it's just like, maybe she doesn't want the community of the people that, it's just, you got to stand your ground, babe. Stand your ground, like the rest of your MAGA friends.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, she wants to be the cool girl and like have cool friends and cool community like you guys are saying. And it's like, that's not conducive to like just outright hating a group of people.
Yeah.
And again, like I say, if you are in Texas and you're saying people over 200 pounds cannot do Pilates.
You're upending the Pilates industry in Texas. Like, they
I was like, learn from Demi Lovato. Don't go after a small business. Like, you know.
Yeah, that was it. All right, well, guys, that's our grassroots for this week. So I guess we're going to say to a woman named Monica from Texas, a.k.a. Succulent Addict 8, a.k.a. Pilates Girl, for the crime of posting rage bait and then trying to backtrack on it, we must tell you,
go touch grass.
And that's the end of our episode. Zach, you were as wonderful of a guest as we thought you were.
Zach, you're awesome.
It was an honor, and I hope that I didn't say anything really bad with our difficult topics.
I don't think I really think that you said all the good. I think you said all the right things.
And amazing. I think I'm proud that I sent you the topics ahead of time so you can get in the
mindset.
So you can get in the mindset of we're going to talk about Diddy. Okay.
Well, you know, because you are.
I am Twink Gay Diddy Jew Diddy. Yeah. I'll show you the comments. There's so many.
So, okay, let's say our listeners, they're hearing this. They say, I got to see this gay twink Diddy for myself.
No.
Where do they find
you? Now I have a name. Now I'm Pilates girlfriend. Mine's gay twink Diddy.
I mean.
Where do they find you? Where do they follow you? Like, listen to your podcast, all the good stuff.
You can listen to my podcast, Out of Breath with Zach, wherever you get podcasts. Not on YouTube because it's just me. So I don't want to put it up there. But one day maybe I'll put them up. You can follow me at Zach Schiffman. You can subscribe to New York Magazine, I guess. I don't know, whatever. They change my bills. not my business, but sure. That's it.
Great. Guys, and you can follow this podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything. You can follow me at Pandalise on Instagram and Elise Navidad on TikTok.
You can follow me at Millie_Tamarez on Instagram and TikTok and Millie Tamarez on Twitter, Blue Sky, and all this other shit.
Great. And until next time, Go Touch Grass!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
And I'm Olivia Allen.
And we host the podcast...
Broad Ideas.
Yes, that's now on HeadGum. On our show, we chat with people like Brittany Snow, Lucy Hale, Kristen Bell, Margaret Cho, Jake Johnson, and so much more.
And we talk about all the things you would talk about with your best friend.
Like your periods.
And mental illness.
And the food you ate for lunch.
Most importantly.
Listen to Broad Ideas on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jake Johnson, and I host the HeadGum Podcast, We're Here to Help, with my partner, Gareth Reynolds. We're Here to Help is a call-in advice show. Think car talk from back in the day. We're determined to help fix life's dumbest problems. We also have guest helpers join us from the entire cast of New Girl to Michael Cera, Andy Samberg, Jimmy Kimmel, just to name a few. So do me a favor and come check out an episode and then bounce around our catalog. We're over 150 episodes so far, so there's plenty of stories for you to discover. Subscribe to We're Here to Help on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop every Monday, and bonus episodes drop on Wednesdays.